Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, the federal government has just announced new plans for a whistleblower protection scheme for the public sector. The new plans are meant to give people more freedom to lift the lid on questionable practices in government departments, things like corruption, misconduct, money wasting, and public safety issues. Peter Bennett is head of Whistleblowers Australia. He has spent years campaigning on this issue. We thought it'd be good to get him on the line to talk about it and also find out just what happens when you're a whistleblower. Peter, welcome to Open House.
Good evening.
These proposed new laws are meant to help people blow the whistle on bad practices in the Commonwealth public sector. They're actually kind of catching up with the states, aren't they?
That's correct. The Commonwealth has had virtually no effective whistleblowing legislation at all, ever. The agencies who were charged with a responsibility for implementing the whistleblower protection laws simply have failed to do anything about it up till now. The government is to be commended for giving a promise to actually increase access to information held by the government and to make the bureaucrats more transparent and accountable in the way they do their functions. Unfortunately, what hasn't come out of this new legislation is greater protection for whistleblowers. Okay. What it really means is more can now be disclosed than was disclosed in the past without fear of being prosecuted, that is, taken to court and being made a criminal. But you don't get any extra protection out of this legislation to prevent you being harmed by those same bureaucrats you're blowing the whistle on.
Okay. So let's get it straight. So at the moment, if you blow the whistle on some issue in a federal government department, you can actually become the criminal yourself. This is, you know, prior to the new laws coming in. You can actually become the criminal yourself.
Alan Kessing is the customs officer at Sydney Kingswood Smith Airport who blew the whistle on abysmal border security protection issues some time ago. The Howard government allowed him, not only allowed him, encouraged him to be prosecuted by the Commonwealth for releasing that information, which has served every single person in Australia flying on every aircraft to and from Australia. And he was taken to court, found guilty, even though he claims he didn't do it, of releasing that information, and he is now a criminal. Now, that action that he took was in the public interest. It has been proven by a $3 million inquiry set up by Howard government that the information he released was in the public interest and served the public interest to the extent that Howard promised to spend $200 million fixing up the holes that Kessing exposed. Yet he was made a criminal for doing so. Mm. Now, the only people who were served by him being made a criminal was the government and the bureaucrats. The public wasn't served. Not one single person who was not part of the government and part of the bureaucracy gained anything from him being charged, found guilty, and made a criminal. The people who did it are, in my view, the criminals.
Is there a certain kind of fear to some degree that any of these kinds of whistleblowing laws could actually then turn around and be used used to then kind of, I guess, what could we say, open slather on any sensitive information that could then just be thrown into the public domain without any ramifications?
Well, no, it never could, and it doesn't under this current legislation. This current legislation suggests that there's a two-tiered system whereby you have to take it internally, and if you do take it internally and nothing is done about it, you can then release the information. But there's also a requirement that you have an honest and genuine belief that the information you're disclosing serves the public interest as the greater test. That is, there is, even if there is another public interest, as long as the greater public interest is served, that is a defence against releasing the information. So if you were releasing information that was likely to harm the community, it would fail that test and you would be prosecuted.
Mm. So when it comes to people like Alan Kessing and others, what is the actual crime?
Well, it was Section 70 of the Crimes Act, and the Australian Law Reform Commission, the Federal Court, the High Court, and just about every reasonable authority has suggested it be overturned, and we think it is very likely that this government will do it. Whereas the previous government actually used it as a tool, a weapon to dump on people, and used it extraordinarily harshly, in the Kessing case is a classic example, this government has now made three or four inquiries, all of which lead to the point where that type of catch-all legislation that prohibits the disclosure of any information that comes from the Commonwealth will be disbanded, thrown away with, and we will now have a rational piece of legislation which allows information that serves a public interest to be disclosed. Look, the bottom line is, whistleblowers are people of ethics. They are people that seek justice and fair play for the community. They are doing a public service. I know of whistleblowers who have committed suicide from what's happened to them at work.
Is that right?
And it's just gone on for years. I had my own particular case went on for 6.5 years where I was charged with making offences, and eventually they had to withdraw the charges unreservedly. The attacks on me were sustained, unyielding. They just continued on and on for years.
Yeah, actually, I want to hear more of that because there's a reason, obviously, why Whistleblowers Australia is actually in existence. 1-300-40-20-20, I want to throw it out to the listeners as well. Have you had to stand up for some sort of dodgy practices going on in your workplace? And if so, what were the ramifications? Was it well handled? Did you have some sort of backlash against you and your career? 1-300-40-20-20. This is Open House right across Australia. So, yeah, why does whistleblowers exist? I mean, what kinds of things have you and your members then experienced when it comes to whistleblowing? Obviously, we want as concrete as examples as possible, but obviously, anything that's legal at the moment, we probably shouldn't talk about. But what kind of things have you actually experienced?
There are criminal offences which the police can deal with. That is, if there is graft and corruption, somebody's got their hand in the till and actually trying to rip the system off. But public administration really goes to the issue of transparency and accountability of the way the bureaucrats do their function, whether they do it, whether there is abuse of office, whether they maladminister, whether they waste money, whether they try to cover it up, whether they tell the government they are doing something, but in fact they're doing something entirely different. And, I mean, there are hundreds of cases. You know, like, we're going to install a new computer system. It's going to cost $17 million. At the end of $300 million, nobody is held to account for it. Mm. The people who did that actually have lied to Senate inquiries, misrepresented information, and nothing happens to them. But there are people in the system who know what went wrong. And they would like to come forward and say, that document that you have in front of you is false. They know it's false. When the tests were done, it failed. It didn't pass. So now those people, if the system works and transparency and accountability actually works, we'll know that that information can be disclosed. Mm. The person who does it's not going to or shouldn't get dumped on. Mm-hmm. It won't be a criminal offence anymore.
Now, give me some examples of that dumping, though. What do people who blow the whistle, what do they experience typically? What have some of your members experienced?
Well, the first thing they do is send you off to a psychiatrist. Anybody who actually discloses information about senior bureaucrats probably is a little insane to start with. Myself included. That is, knowing that you are going to be attacked by people with enormous power, unlimited amounts of money, and all the authority that you could possibly have short of God to be able to bring the heavens down on you, criticising them is really not a very sensible thing to do, unless you've got this really strong sense of justice and ethics and fair play.
Yeah.
And when you actually do that, when they want to have a go at you, you actually get stronger. And you actually want to fight back harder.
Yeah.
And when you get that bit between your teeth, it's a do or die. And quite often, many times, people die. And the sort of thing that happens is after sending you to the psychiatrist, they usually then put you into a hole. And the proverbial hole is usually an office without a phone, without a computer, and usually without a window. Yeah. And they tell you to guard the door.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing that goes on. Then they allocate a particular person to you to deal with you. And dealing with you means that you don't get sick leave. They fight your compensation claim because you are suffering stress and disruption. They look for a job for you in a place where you know you are unskilled so that they can then say, you can't do your work. We think that you really need to be made retrenched. And this is standard it's amazing just how consistent the bureaucrats are. It's as if they have a manual, because it doesn't matter which department it is, time of the year, day, male, female, young, old, the process is almost so uniform you'd swear blind they were reading out of a manual.
Yeah.
And that is because it has become so systemic in the public sector, particularly at the federal government level, that it just happens as a matter of rote, again and again. And without drawing too fine a line, the Australian Government Solicitor's Office has been a party to that process. It, instead of acting as the public and the government solicitor, it has been acting as the bureaucrat solicitor protecting them.
It's fascinating what you talk about when you say that once they've sent you off to the psychiatrist, they'll then kind of put you into a little office somewhere down the back and then almost try to kind of push you away further and further further away from the whole situation or even from the main office. I remember when we spoke to Sharon Watkins, and she was a whistleblower, one of the three whistleblowers, although she was the main one, for the Enron scandal over in the US.
Yep.
And that's exactly what they actually did to her. And it's a very, very similar tactic. I'd be interested to know if anybody else has had that kind of experience. 1-300-40-20-20. Now, the other thing, Peter, does this, you've been talking a lot about the governmental sector because this is what the new legislation is about. What about the private sector? Similar kinds of things go on there, just like Sharon Watkins with Enron?
Yes. Well, the federal government has started to address the private sector. In particular, there is already some whistleblowing legislation in banking, insurance, superannuation, and finance, and a small amount in the Workplace Relations Act. But it literally is one line. It's inoperable. It doesn't work. It is inefficient. It has no benefit whatsoever. And so far as the corporate legislation is concerned, I think it's been used four times since it came into being, I think in about 1985, and it hasn't worked. Mm. Now, there's a meeting next week to actually talk about changing that corporate law. And once again, the government is to be commended for actually doing it. But from the Whistleblowers Australia's point of view is, it's no good improving transparency and accountability if you don't protect the whistleblower, because in a very short space of time, whistleblowers will say, hold on, I can talk about it more and I won't be prosecuted, but I'm not going to be protected in the workplace.
Yeah, in fact, by speaking up, they may well face so much backlash, obviously, from their superiors, but obviously you could also maybe have, the rest of the office staff turn against you too. You're the one who's causing troubles. Now we've got so many things that we've got to do, maybe even more paperwork, whatever it might be. So can it actually cause that kind of dissension within the office as well, even if it's not within those, by those with power?
Can you become a whistleblower, you soon find out who your friends are. And those who don't want a ripple, I mean, there are three types. There are those who are your friends, and you've got to say to them, you can't back me because if you do, you will get hurt as well. Mm-hmm. There are those who want to sit on the fence and you just think, well, okay, that's just, at least it's a neutral position. And there are those who will back the management left, right and centre, ostracise you, turn your cup of coffee over, put salt in your tea, you name it. And they will do whatever they can to ingratiate themselves with management, showing that they're prepared to ostracise you.
Yes, okay.
And this goes on from the bloke who says, I've been told to doctor my driving logs in a company, through to executive staff in organisations and leading. I mean, I've had scientists and professors at university come to me crying, literally crying, about being told that they have to shut up about public waste, about maladministration, about mismanagement, about nepotism, you name it. And there is nowhere for them to go. As matters stand at the moment, there is nowhere.
Yeah.
And the new legislation has put in place the ombudsman as a means to investigate, but the ombudsman has no capacity to protect. And if this legislation is going to work, the government has to have a double-barreled approach. That is, the ombudsman to investigate the offences, but another part of an organisation, an independent organisation, to ensure that the whistleblowers are protected in the workplace.
Okay. Peter, it's been fascinating to talk to you. I really do appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Peter, bye-bye. Peter Bennett, the National President from Whistleblowers Australia. Phew, fascinating stuff.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.